Go for Growth Show, powered by Beepo.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Go for Growth Show. My name is Mark Engelman, and I will be your host today. On today's show, we've got Shelley Rogers with us. She's the CEO of Maxim Corp. Welcome to the show, Shelley.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
No worries. So, Shelley, you've had a pretty stellar career and a very interesting career to date. But before you tell us your story, I'd love you to explain what your current projects are.
Well, I don't know if stellar is the correct word. I think I've had a roller coaster whirlwind of a career. But some of the interesting projects that I have going on right now is me and my husband are really big on diversification. We're both entrepreneurs, both risk takers. So we both find that diversification is really, really important. So we have a few things going on. Actually, last month, I helped launch a skincare company here in Australia, so that's pretty exciting. I was appointed a trainer for the Entrepreneurs Organization Accelerator Program, and I love that program. I wish I would have had it when I started my career back in, 1994. So it's just about helping other entrepreneurs grow their businesses and scale. Basically, their businesses in that program start around $250,000, and we're getting them up to the $1 million mark. Yep. And I got a new startup coming online here soon. I don't want to give out too much details. It's kind of a secret, but it's called People Steps, and it's a platform to help entrepreneurs manage their people better. That's a few of the things going on.
Yeah, busy, busy lady. So, Shelley, it's obviously no secret you haven't lived in Australia all your life. In fact, most of your career has been based in Canada. Can you tell me about, you know, where you started and your journey?
Absolutely. So yes, I grew up in a very small town in northern Alberta, very cold. I started my career back in 1994, actually a electronic recycling company. And everybody says, oh my gosh, like, how did you get involved in that? And it was interesting. My mother worked for the government telephone company back then, and they were looking for companies to outsource what they called their investment recovery division, which is anything that they took out of service, all of their telecom products. They wanted a company to help them recycle that. So that's kind of how I got started. I bid on the contract. I had really no idea what I was doing. There was no strategy. I think I underbid everybody, so I won the contract. It was a long-term, I think it was a three-year contract with a two-year renewal. And basically what we did was we would remove their equipment, we would sort it, and we would then send it in containers to China for recycling. So I had contacts through my mother's husband, because he was a scrap dealer at the time, for buyers in China. And the model was brilliant, because I got paid for the equipment before the container left. They would then recycle it back into the base components in China. Mm. And I didn't have to pay for the product from the telephone companies for about 45 days after the fact. So cash flow positive from day one, not much competition. We expanded across Canada over the next 5 years, and really enjoyed some fast growth and blue ocean, I guess would be the word, for that company.
Yeah, wow, very interesting. So you said you kind of just bid on this contract and you didn't really have much of a strategy. It sounds all very entrepreneurial and fly by the seat of your pants kind of thing. How did you strategy develop and grow with that business? Like, you know, yes, you started off with no sort of strategy, but that I'm sure must have changed pretty early on in the piece.
I think what I did very well was I never said no. So anytime, and my customer service to my clients were top notch. So I had a really good pulse on what they required. I did, I was very good at saving them money or saving them time. Mm. So I kept developing different programs for them. For instance, probably about 8 months after we started the recycling, I was getting all this product that was still really, really good quality. And some of it was actually brand new still in the packaging. And I went back to the telephone company. I said, you're sending me the stuff that could be reused. Can I start a consignment program for you? And they said, absolutely, just as long as you don't sell to our competitors in Canada. So I developed a lot of relationships with the smaller mom and pop telephone companies in the US. Mm-hmm. And they loved the product because the government products were well maintained. And I was selling in US dollars, which was another bonus for me, and paying for the equipment in Canadian dollars. So the consignment program, again, was another cash positive incentive in my business that did really well and made my clients extra millions of dollars versus, you know, just recycling for pennies on the pound or pennies per pound. Yeah. So that kind of transposed, and then we grew, kind of grew across Canada. And it was probably about the 7 year mark where we realized that the markets were changing, competition was coming in. There was, started realizing that shipping the containers to China wasn't an environmentally friendly, option because, they weren't handling the products correctly. So there was a 60 minute video that was released or interview on child labor in China, people using like acid baths to, you know, melt the plastic off the cables to get to the copper wires. So we realized that we needed to start recycling our products in Canada or North America. And that came with purchasing a lot of expensive machinery and equipment to do it in a cost efficient way. Otherwise the labor costs would have killed us. So we decided to take the company public. So at this point, we're probably, oh gosh, what year was that? That was probably about 2002. And we had acquired two companies, one in Canada, one in the Silicon Valley. We had opened up an operation in Mexico City. We had a joint venture in Chile, and we had sales offices all across Canada. We're probably creeping up to about 100 staff at that time. And so we did an IPO, raised about $3 million. We're looking to bring in some venture capital, about the $8 million mark when the wheels on the bus kind of fell off really quickly. So we went from winning tons of awards, the Small Business of the Year, Women of Vision, to basically cash crunching, not raising the extra $8 million that we needed. The plant, we ordered was about a $2 million plant from Germany, and it was on the water on its way over, and we cash crunched. We had a CFO that presented about 5 or 6 false letter of intents. He was also starting to pocket money into his personal bank account, funneled from our accounts. And it was devastating. It was devastating. I learned so much though, but at that point in time, I lost my business. We ended up appointing a receiver. I lost a lot of friends who invested. But I think most of the biggest thing was I lost my energy. I went into full depression. I was just completely exhausted at the point in time. It was a big disappointment, but from disappointments come amazing learning. And I think the best thing that I, the best advice I had was from a friend of mine that was in my forum. And he said, Shelly, it's not how hard you fall, it's how fast you get up.
Yeah.
And so it took me about a year to dust off. And then I started again.
Wow. And so, you know, that's an amazing experience to go through. And like you said, you've learned so much from that. How has that sort of changed your approach to growing businesses and business in general?
So that was definitely a business we scaled for an exit strategy. My next few businesses were a lifestyle business. So I started up, the next one was called Top Flight, which was more focused just on buying and refurbishing electronic products, not so much on recycling. We outsourced that. And I focused more on a balanced lifestyle because that's what I was lacking when I had the public company. So I focused on my kids. My kids were raised by nannies when I had my first company. I focused on my health. Started, with personal trainers and running, and I made sure that I wasn't working 60 to 80 hours a week. It was all more balanced lifestyle. And you can have all the money in the world, but if you're not happy, really, money doesn't bring happiness. So for me, it was about spending quality time with the people and the relationships that meant a lot to me. And I did grow that business and sold it to one of the largest independent leasing companies in the world. And I now moved to Australia, enjoying the weather here, I have to say, and another startup. So another few startups, actually.
Yeah. And so, often when we speak to entrepreneurs, a lot of them talk about how they, they love the challenge of business and growing businesses and they working sort of 60, 70, 80 hours a week isn't like a negative thing for them. It's something that they just, just fuels their passion for their business. How did you kind of short circuit that feeling to then be able to create that work-life balance?
Well, the biggest aha moment for me was when I came home from work. My son was in his pajamas. I think he was probably about six, seven, somewhere around there. Maybe six. Yeah. Anyways, he ran to the door and he's like, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, did you get the money today?" And I just fell to my knees, dropped my briefcase, and I just thought, oh my God, here's my, child worried about if I got the money today. And so that kind of was the kicker for me, and always plays back in my mind when, as an entrepreneur, we all struggle with balance. I mean, it's not the easiest thing. You're just wired to do more and be better. So that's the little voice in the back of my head that keeps me balanced. And today I'm very, very strict with my calendar. So I book everything in 20-minute increments. My husband and I have shared calendars. We have color coded. Our workouts are in red. They're pretty much never moved. Everything's scheduled around what we have planned for the year, our holidays and, everything. So when it's in the calendar, it's pretty much not being moved, especially if it's family events. And another thing that I've done that has been really helpful for time management is I use an app called Focus Time. And basically what I do is a 20 to 35 minute sprint in the morning before the kids are even, we get back from our morning ritual walk. And I do a 20 to 35 minute sprint and it's timed with this Focus Time. And I pick the biggest thing of the day that I want to get accomplished. And it's amazing because I'm kind of a perfectionist. When you see that timer and it's counting down, how much you can get done in that short little bit of time and just go, you know what? I need to get this done within this time frame. So that's been something that's also been really helpful for me on time management.
Yeah, interesting. So I've recently, gone down a similar path and my new mindset is that, the work will always get done. So why prioritize it?
There you go.
There's a whole bunch of other stuff in your life that never gets done, like fitness and health and family time. So shouldn't that be what's prioritized? So that's very similar, I think. You've had some setbacks in your career. What's your advice to, our listeners on this show about, managing those setbacks in their businesses and, how do you get back up and fight the good fight?
For me, the biggest thing that really helped me was I was a member of the Entrepreneurs Organization. now I'm a trainer for them, but back then I started with EO right about the time I was scaling up my public company. And I remember doing a presentation to them, go big or stay home. And so it was like, go public or stay as a private company. But after the fact, when everything went into shambles, I leaned on them. And so it was, you know, I had about nine of us in this forum, and they really helped me get through it, because it was devastating. I was in full depression. I felt like a failure. I gave these clients that I've been doing business with for, you know, years and years, trusted clients, my word that they were going to get paid. And it was emotionally devastating. So I guess my advice is to try and find like-minded people, try and find a group of people that will support you, help you get through it, because there were some dark moments. There was a lot of time where I didn't want to get out of bed. And, it was the help of the forum that really gave me the encouragement to start again. And Ken Carter, you know, it's not how hard you fall, it's how fast you get up. And yeah. I think learning, it's just, what's important is to just continue. I say every day is a school day. I'm learning every day, and we learn from our mistakes. So now I encourage to fail fast. The faster you fail, the quicker you learn. And, you know, just be agile and implement and change and go for growth.
Yeah. Awesome. And so let's talk about Maxim Corporation. Can you tell us a little bit about Maxim Corporation and what it's doing for its customers?
Yeah. So when I sold my company in Canada, moved here, I tried to retire and I got bored. And so I wanted to give back and help other entrepreneurs grow their businesses. So it's a company where I do mentoring, coaching, and now facilitating larger groups to help scale their business. So with the Entrepreneurs Accelerator Program, we specifically are working with the scaling up Vern Harnish's tools. So we focus 4 learning days, 1 around people, hiring the right people, getting them in the right seats on your in your company. We focus on strategy, execution, and cash flow. So those are the 4 things that we focus on to scale up the businesses. Another thing that I'm doing right now that's really fun is I'm helping companies expand from here in Australia to North America. So I'm working with 2 product-based companies right now to help them grow and expand internationally. So that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, awesome. So it sounds like you're sort of like the circle of life, from growth startup to...
It's so cool when you can see clearly, you know, where you can tweak a strategy to make a huge difference. And I think that would be, if I was to give advice to entrepreneurs starting out or startup companies in the younger, like 25 employees or less, is just nail your strategy and make sure you have the right people, whether it's a board of directors or if it's, you know, just a group of people helping you with strategy. And Steve Jobs spent most of his afternoons with his customers, and he had a 3-hour meeting, marketing meeting, once a week, basically aligning his strategy with marketing. So you should be spending 10 hours a week on your strategy, tweaking it, improving it, making sure that you got that right so you can scale.
Yeah, totally. And so, look, my next question is all about top growth tips for business owners looking to take their business to the next level. And I think you've already answered that with with that little gem. Do you have any other kind of tips for people that are kind of, they might be plateauing in their business or just looking for, you know, the next kind of direction to take it?
I think top tips, A, would be strategy. B, get your systems. Get them in place. Make them sexy. Hire the right people and tie them to your core values. If you don't have people that share your core values, you're not going to have a aligned culture. Yeah. And work on the business. So if you have your system set up, you can work on the business and not in the business. Those would be probably my top four nuggets of how to scale.
Yeah, cool. And my last question, are there any sort of innovative tools or new pieces of technology or services that you've been using lately that have really, you know, made your life easier or made things smoother in your business? Anything like that?
I'm inundated with tech tips because on my podcast, Inspiring Greatness, I ask my guests that question each week. What tech tips or technology tools do you find useful? So, oh my gosh, I could go on and on and on, but one that I've been using lately that has saved me a ton of time is Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Mm-hmm. And basically it is an app that summarizes books for you. And you can also get it in audio form so they can actually read you the books or you can listen to it in audio. Because I ask that question to my guest as well to name a favorite book. Yep. So Blinkist helps me keep up with some of the books that I love to read. And a couple with cash flow that were recommended that are pretty cool if you're struggling for cash is Captify. Okay. Where you can access between 5,000 and a million in funding for your business really, really quick. Like it can be in your account for just like within a couple of days. So that one was a recommendation. I love the focus time. And yeah, there's so many out there. It's just sticking to ones that work for you.
Yeah, totally. All right, Shelley. Well, thank you for your time. That's been great chatting.
Thank you, Mark. It was awesome to be on your podcast.
Awesome. Thank you.
The Go for Growth Show, powered by Beepo.